we are killed by settlers in the occupied West Bank. Syria holds a funeral procession for dozens of people killed in a terrorist attack at a military academy in Homs. And Britain's opposition Labour Party wins a parliamentary seat in Scotland, seen as a path to power in next year's general vote. Hello and welcome, everybody. Nearly 80 Palestinians rather have been injured as Israeli forces attack mourners attending the funeral procession of a man in the occupied West Bank. Thousands attended the funeral of 19-year-old Labib Dumaidi, who was fatally shot by Israeli settlers during their raid on the town of Hawara, south of Nablus. Israeli troops used live rounds, rubber bullets, tear gas, and sound bombs against the mourners. The Palestinians were chanting slogans against the use of violence by Israeli forces and settlers, and in support of the resistance. The mourners also called for avenging the blood of Palestinians. The Hamas resistance movement also stressed that Palestinian resistance will eventually put an end to Israeli occupation. Mona Candila is joining us now from Ramallah. Mona, the Israelis have now attacked mourners attending a funeral procession of a man who was earlier killed in the occupied West Bank. It seems that there's no limit at this point for the level of aggression and deadly raids that the Israelis are carrying out.
First of all, 19-year-old Palestinian Labib Dumaidi was killed by Israeli settlers' fire when he and other Palestinian residents of the village of Hawara tried to stand against and face the aggression and the oppression of the Israeli settlers last night, when the settlers attacked the people and their homes and their properties. Dumaidi was killed by the Israeli settlers. And today, during the funeral procession, when thousands of Palestinians took part in the funeral procession and took his body from the hospital of Rafidia in Nablus, northern occupied West Bank, and took it to his hometown village of Hawara, the mourners had been attacked by the Israeli forces, who Palestinians were chanting anti-Israeli slogans and were vowing to avenge the killing of this young Palestinians, this young Palestinian, and they also were saying that they will continue on their way of resistance. This had angered the Israeli forces, of course. They attacked the people. They used live rounds, wounding dozens of Palestinians. At least 80 Palestinians were wounded, according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health. More than 20 of them had been shot with live rounds. At the same time, the military checkpoint of Hawara had been completely closed for the second day after the attacks of the settlers yesterday. It's for the second today, it's completely closed, and Palestinians cannot travel or transport from the central, the occupied West Bank, to northern, the occupied West Bank, because this military checkpoint of the Hawara is located at the entrance of a number of Palestinian cities, like Nablus. It leads to Nablus, to Jenin, to Kerem, and Qalqilia. And so it's yet another aggression being committed by the Israeli forces against the Palestinians.
All right, thanks a lot. Mona Candil joining us from Ramallah. Syria has held a funeral procession for the people killed in a terror attack on a military academy in the western city of Homs. The funeral was held outside a military hospital in central Homs. The defense minister was in attendance. General Ali Abbas said Syria is paying the price for its dignity and prosperity. On Thursday, several weaponized drones struck a graduation ceremony for army officers at the Homs Military Academy. Families of the new officers were there when the attack took place. According to the Syrian government, 89 people, including 5 children, were killed and nearly 280 people were injured. A UK-based war monitor has put the death toll at 110. Syria has declared 3 days of public mourning. The terrorist drone attack has drawn condolences and condemnations from across the world. The Iranian president pointed the finger at terrorist foreign supporters, including those occupying Syria.
Indeed, the responsibility for this tragic event lies with the foreign supporters of terrorist groups, including those occupying Syria, and preventing the enforcement of national sovereignty across the Syrian territory and the effective combat against terrorism. It's expected that relevant international organizations, particularly the UN Security Council, fulfill their responsibility in this regard.
Raisi said, giving Daesh and other Takfiri terrorists breathing room to carry out their operations completes the Israeli acts of aggression against Syria. President Vladimir Putin also reaffirmed Russia's resolve to continue close cooperation with Syria in combating terrorism in all its shapes and forms. Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko also stressed that the international community should not turn a blind eye to the scourge. In Lebanon, the resistance movement Hezbollah said the attack shows that a foreign-backed conspiracy is underway in Syria and stressed its support for Damascus. Palestine's Islamic Jihad resistance movement also expressed confidence that Syria will remain steadfast in the face of plots targeting its unity. Yemen's Ansar Allah movement added that the U.S. and Israel are behind all plots against Syria because of its support for resistance. The UAE, Egypt, and Venezuela have also condemned the attack in Homs. Journalist and activist Sabiba Jaoudi explains why some Western states, especially the U.S., continue to back terrorist groups in Syria despite all the harm they are inflicting on people there.
Unfortunately, there's not a limit to terrorist groups inside of Syria armed by the West. We have the armed rebels who are backed by Western countries with weapons, with policies, with propaganda. So I don't know why no one has claimed responsibility yet. I'm sure that the signs are all there. It's very evident. As Mike Pompeo has said, we lied, we cheated, we stole, we had an entire training course. It reminds you of the glory of the American experiment. He boasted about this at a university conference back in Texas. This was in 2021, still. I just think that the U.S. has blatantly admitted again and again to arming these terrorists, as mentioned before, the WikiLeaks, Hillary Clinton's emails, all of this shows how disingenuous they are about their claims for human rights, about their claims for anti-terror tactics. They have a reason to be in Syria, and they have a reason to exploit and plunder Syria's resources, at the same time try and attempt to overthrow Syria's democratically elected government to undermine Syrian sovereignty, self-determination, and democracy, because Syria is one of the countries in that region that has been standing strong against Israel, and Israel works as an ally, Israel works as a lapdog for the United States and Australia.
The passing out of a girl in Tehran subway station has triggered misinformation campaign by anti-Iran media outlets overseas. Here's a report on that.
16-year-old Armita Geravand fainted while boarding a train at a subway station in the Iranian capital. Immediately afterwards, anti-Iran TV channels and outlets embarked on a media campaign blaming the incident on the subway police. They accused the police of pushing Armita out of the train after a noisy argument leading to her fall. Now the Tehran subway company has released all camera footage from the moment Armita enters the station till she is taken to hospital. Here is 6:52 a.m. October 1st. Armita enters the station alone. After 2 minutes, she passes the ticket control gate. At 6:54, she enters a grocery store in the station, and after that she is seen here heading to the platform, where she catches up with her friends. It can be seen that the whole 8 minutes of her presence in the station passes without a problem. Armita and her friends wait to board the train, but they don't take the first one. It seems they are waiting for a friend. Armita's arrival on the platform and her boarding take more than 8 minutes. Still no scene or any problem. And here is the moment Armita and her friends board the train, but after just 4 seconds, as can be seen, she gets dizzy and falls down. After Armita's fall, people on the scene call the emergency services and try to revive her. A couple of minutes into the incident, medical teams arrive and she's transported to the nearest hospital. Armita's close friends say there was no quarrel and it was simply a normal day to school.
Her head hit the ground. I tried to pull her to safety with the help of others. When my hand touched her head, there was blood. We brought her out. Let me say this. Nothing happened on the train. No one pushed her. No one quarreled with her. Nothing. The moment she got on the train, she just fell.
Armita is now in hospital, and according to her medical report, she has gone through low blood pressure. Armita's parents say they have not seen any irregularities in the camera footage provided by the subway company or her medical report. They have called for people to pray for their daughter's health.
I've seen the subway footage, and I don't think what some people say is true. I've seen all the footage and followed it closely. Nothing was wrong.
Last year, similar media tactics employed by the anti-Iran news outlets incited violence throughout the country. Yet the misinformation campaign has only failed.
Ali Salam, editor-in-chief of Basir Press, blames Western friendly media for jumping on the story of Armita Garavand.
The evidence is very clear. Although those who have an agenda, they don't care about the truth and they will manipulate it anyways, as has been done. And we saw, as you mentioned, last year a very similar incident. A young woman with a health complication, a very serious health complication, unfortunately led to her untimely death. And very quickly, the fake news media jumped on it and spinned on the story. Unfortunately, this involved a inside infiltrator within Iran who, after the riots and everything began, it was investigated by the Iranian authorities that she was being handled by various CIA agents when she attended some NGO training conferences outside the country. I'm referring, of course, to Niloufar Hamedi. And she worked for some of the liberal-leaning pro-Western newspapers within Iran. And she published this story without any evidence, barely spending any time in the hospital, not waiting for sufficient evidence to publish her report. And unfortunately, this fake news was propagated by many of the foreign-funded news media outlets that you mentioned, which have the agendas of the hostile foreign backers that fund them. And so it led to a large outpour. So, but after 1 year, it seems like the truth has come out. People have seen that what these rioters of what they are for, especially the leaders among them.
Britain's Labour Party has won a by-election for a parliamentary seat in Scotland. The leader of the opposition party has hailed it as a seismic result. Earlier, our correspondent in London, Syed Pouroza, joined us for more on that.
But why is this significant? It's one way, one reason it's significant because it's a barometer of a labor revival, if you will, in Scotland. And also its national appeal, Labor Party's national appeal against the SNP. And of course, the Tories, the Conservatives, who remain very unpopular, Labor having a 20-point lead against the Conservative Party. Nationally speaking, it's also significant because Labour could make significant inroads in elections next year that might give it the margin it needs to amass more votes against the SNP and against the Tories in the elections next year. What it also means, Varya, is the SNP's collapsing fortunes in the wake of, in February, of Nicola Sturgeon, the former First Minister's resignation, and that a financial scandal that hit the SNP involving Nicola Sturgeon's husband, was party leader at the time, misusing donations to the SNP, that money that should have been invested or was donated to be invested in a possible next referendum on Scottish independence.
Ukraine says a Russian strike at a village in the northeast of the country has left 52 people dead. The people had gathered for a wake when the strike happened. Ukrainian officials say a Russian missile slammed into a cafe and grocery store in Groza village, Kharkiv region. They've called the attack the single deadliest since the war began with Russia in February last year. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky says it was not a blind attack, accusing Moscow of conducting such strikes every day.
I believe that nothing but air force, especially during winter, can protect those people that absolutely tragically died because of this inhumane terrorist attack.
Zelensky was speaking at a European political community summit in Spain. He said he has secured agreements for more air defense systems and artillery supplies to Kiev. Meanwhile, the United Nations, as well as the U.S., U.K., and Germany, have condemned the missile strike in Ukraine. Russia has reacted, saying its military does not strike civilian targets. It says strikes are carried out on military targets and on places where military personnel are concentrated. Sweden says it will send a new military aid package for Ukraine that mainly consists of artillery ammunition. Defense Minister Paul Johnson says the aid is worth nearly $200 million. He says Sweden is also looking into sending fighter jets to Ukraine. He added that that will be decided after armed forces present their report on the potential supply by early November. The latest military aid is the 14th Sweden is sending to Ukraine since it entered the war with Russia last year. Other Western states have also provided Kiev with different kinds of weapons. That has drawn strong criticism from Moscow. It argues that the Western support fans the flames of the war. The Venezuelan prosecutor's office says it has issued an arrest warrant for opposition leader Juan Guaido.
The prosecutors issued an arrest warrant for Guaido and the respective Interpol red notice so that this man pays for the crimes the justice system in the United States knows and shares.
Guaido is accused of treason and money laundering, among others. He has used resources of Venezuela's public oil giant PDVSA to cost some $19 billion in losses. That's according to authorities in Caracas. They say Guaido relied on revelations provided to the press by U.S. federal court. Guaido is now living in exile in the U.S. Back in 2019, he proclaimed himself as interim president of Venezuela, challenging the re-election of President Nicolas Maduro. At the time, the U.S. and European countries threw their support behind Guaido. Last year, the Venezuelan opposition formally ended his position as acting president. That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Quran Quest, a program on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The show is Quran Quest, where we study the verses of the Quran together with Brother Habib to learn from them and practice them in our lives. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Habib. Thank you for being with us.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
And so we are on verse 43 of chapter 70 of the Quran, Surah Al-Ma'arij. Let's listen to these few verses and we'll be back for the discussion. Don't go away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. The day they will emerge from the graves rapidly, as if they were toward an erected idol, hastening. Their eyes humbled, humiliation will cover them. That is the day which they had been promised.
You just listened to verses 43 and 44 of chapter 70 of the Quran, Surah Al-Ma'arij. So, there were disbelievers, Brother Habib, who made fun of the Prophet's idea and said that, listen, before you get to heaven, we're going to already be there. And God subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding and telling them that what their opinions are baseless, they're mocking, will be answered. And he tells the Prophet to let them be because he's already done everything that he could do for them. And then there comes a threat. They shall encounter their day, which they are promised, the day when they emerge from their graves, hastening, as if racing towards a target, with a humbled look in their eyes, overcast by abasement. That is the day they had been promised. Yikes.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that promised day. How is it going to be? How is the humiliation of that day going to be for those who mock the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, mock the belief of Day of Judgment? And that day they will emerge from their graves and they would run rapidly towards an erected idol, hastening. And it means just as they used to race whenever an idol was newly appointed to be the first of its worshippers, same thing. They would race from that grave, from the first of people or the fastest, and they would be lost.
Lost.
Lost. Mm-hmm. Where should they go?
Lost on the Day of Judgment. Wow.
Yes.
Not good.
Absolutely not good, because that's the day where you're going to be judged. And if you're lost on that day, good luck with it. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get good luck anyway.
So they're running towards an idol on the Day of Judgment?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is comparing the two pictures. Mm-hmm. And we've seen this a lot in the Quran, and we will see it a lot more. Like, how was their status in this world? They would hasten towards idol worshipping. They are hastening out of their graves. But where?
They don't even know where they're going.
They don't know where they're going.
And they have a humble look in their eyes. They know, and they have a humble look in their eyes. They know that they've messed up.
Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing their characteristics on that day, their body appearances. Their eyes are humbled. You know when you see someone fall into humbleness, how their eyes are? The eye, that body language that they have. Their face is covered in humiliation. And you know with that humiliated face, how it looks like? This is the day that they have been promised. This is the day that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi has been calling them towards. This is the day that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi has been trying his best and his hardest to warn them about, to caution them about. Yet they mocked. Yet they make fun of. Yet they deluded. They called it crazy beliefs. They called it magic. Why? For worldly desires. The love of worldly matters.
Worldly desires cause a lot of problems for us. Can we talk about that after the break?
No problem.
Let's take a short break and we'll be back to talk about worldly desires. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is,
on whose name I call. If you ask me who my God is, he's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and just before the break, we were saying that people who mock the Prophet about the Day of Judgment, they will be raised from their graves on the Day of Judgment, humiliated and with a humble face. They know that they messed up, and they know that there's nothing they can do. What they used to make fun of turned out to be true. And why did they reject it? Because of their worldly interests. Worldly interests really get in the way sometimes of accepting the truth. The question is, how much is it okay for us to pursue worldly interests, even if it means in a halal way?
First of all, before answering your question, it's important to put out that worldly interest doesn't always mean fame and fortune. Worldly interest can mean, for example, being loved, being adored,
feeling like you're part of the community, of the cool guys.
So to some extent, that, yes. Being called knowledgeable, being called respected,
not
feared,
even money.
Known to be this good person. Mm. It's not always about money. It's not always about specific, you know, sexual attractions or lust or gluttony or whatever.
Mm.
It could be for these things: the love of fame, the love of being respected, the love of this, the love of that. Yeah. All of these are considered to be worldly, you know, desires.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that wealth, for example, in itself is not bad or not good. It's neutral.
Depends how you use it.
Depends on how you use it, how you gain it. Fame as well. You know, for example, if I came from a famous family, wasn't it in my hand that I became famous? No. How do I use that fame? How did I reach the fame is also another question as well.
It reminds me of what I read a few days ago in a book. It was said that there might be a person who has nothing in the world except a bicycle, but he is so attached to that bicycle that he becomes worldly. Whereas there can be a person who is very rich, but he uses that richness, that wealth, on the path of God, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He recognizes that it's for God, and he uses it for good. So wealth in itself, and how wealthy a person is, isn't really a sign of...
Everyone has their own test. We talked about this before, about how everyone's test. One can be tested by wealth, one can be tested by poverty, or with poverty. And at the end of the day, it's like how Al-Allama al-Majlisi puts it out there. Who's the slave? The money or you?
Oh, that's a nice way to put it,
Of course, this word from Al-Allama al-Majlisi is available in Ayn al-Hayat. The book Ayn al-Hayat, very nice book, two chapters. The first chapter has been translated in English. The translation is not that bad, but it's at least it's available in English. And also, I think the translator summarized a lot of things in it, so unfortunately.
Mm.
But the idea is that, who's controlling who? Are you controlling the money, or is the money controlling you? And you don't see this unless you, for example, have... I'm going to bring up an example.
Yeah.
For example, you have new shoes, right? So the new shoes that you have and you're wearing, are you controlling the shoes, or are the shoes controlling you? Are you willing to walk in mud to save a human being? Or no, I'm not going to walk in the mud to save a human being. Why?
Because
my shoes, Maulana, $10,000. So who's controlling who?
Mm-hmm.
See, when you're not going into the mud for the shoes' sake, the shoes is controlling you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go into the mud to save another person, for example, that's considered you saving the shoe. That's the reality of the Zuhd available in the sayings of Ahlul Bayt, alayhum as-salam. You control what you have. You don't let anything else control you. And when you control what you have, Hussein, what happens? You only let Allah control you. You only let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to order you to do this and to do that. Another example that we have in our society is fame. The sickness of fame. It causes people to defend, for example, put it out there, LGBT groups. Why? For the sake of gaining more followers. Oh, this person is woke. He gets more followers. Oh, if you don't defend LGBT, if you're not woke, what happens? You lose your followers, you lose people.
Mm-hmm.
So who's controlling who?
Are you controlling your fame?
Mm-hmm.
Or is the fame controlling you?
Oh, that's really great advice. You know, it's just so simple. Qalla wa dalla. It's short and it's a great criteria. Who is the slave?
Yeah.
And then you understand who is the god, basically. Thank you very much. Let's take a break before our last part on chapter 70. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
This is the last part of this episode, and it's also the last part that we're going to be doing on chapter 70 of the Quran. We talked a lot, and we learned a lot from Sheikh Habib. Thank you very much, Sheikh Habib. We talked about how people are generally astray. We talked about the principles that a person has to uphold not to be astray. We talked about how some people get stuck in worldly desires, and they become slaves to their worldly interests. This was a very wonderful discussion. So, two questions. Sheikh Habib, is there a favorite verse here that you would like to highlight for us from this chapter?
In all reality, yes. The verse that really just pops up to my, my mind when I think about Surah Al-Ma'arij actually is Kalla inna khalaqnahum mimma ya'lamun. Yeah, that verse really just sticks out. It pretty much, I believe it summarizes the entire
chapter.
And it's very beautiful. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying no. It's not as you think that you will enter paradise. How does he give the answer? He says that we know what you were created from. Return to your creation. Return back. Go back to from where you come.
From the disgusting source.
Yeah, from your origins. Your origins are weak. Mm-hmm. Your origins are disgusting, are dirty.
What lets you think you can mock the prophet?
You can mock the prophet. Mm-hmm. Have false beliefs. Think that you're going to enter paradise without this and without that. And you cannot enter paradise unless you are in a certain characteristics. You will not be in these curtains. You will not reach paradise if you do not have these curtains characteristics. Why? Because human beings, if they're not limited, as we stated again and again, they will enter a straight path.
Mm-hmm.
So this verse really just pops up to my mind and it really returns it to a reality. When you see this, when you view yourself. I mean, I've seen a comedian once stated, and he was talking about how all human beings are equal and we should all be humble. He's like, even think about the Queen of England taking a restroom break, going to the restroom. What's so special about her going to the restroom? Me and you go to the restroom, Hussein. Every human being goes to the restroom. We're all the same creations. And sometimes, society creates fake and illusional statuses. Mm-hmm. This is a king, this is a queen, this is a servant, this is this.
Well,
this
nowadays, is that. Fake internet statuses like karma and whatever.
At the end of the day.
Which people care about, actually care about.
At the end of the day, our reality is that we're human beings. We are creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're created from the same liquid. And we will continue to be reproduced with the same liquid. And we are placed in this world not for no reason. We have been placed for a reason. This reason needs a day of judgment. This day of judgment asks us, drives us to do good, to stay away from bad. And it's a struggle that we must take. It is a struggle, no one denies that. It is hard. At the end of the day, we have to take it.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you recite such verses, it returns you to your purpose of life. And unfortunately, a lot of us are forgetting our purpose of life. The world is like this. Wherever you see, there's no mirror. There's no, how do I put it? Thing to remind you, except the verses of such verses of the Quran nowadays. And wherever you go, business, loans, debit, relaxing, I don't know, thinking about movies, thinking about sports, thinking about what to eat, thinking about how to have fun, how to have a good time. Nothing reminds you about your true purpose of life other than these verses that we are reading. And you guys are following on RIB English Radio.
Thank you. Yes. So that is the whole goal, really, to to study the Quran, not just utter the words. That is the real goal.
And Surah Al-Ma'raj, upon and Surah Al-Ma'raj, upon reciting the verses and pondering upon the verses, really the thing that really just made me, you know, how I trying to develop myself is to always remember.
Yeah.
That's something
new. I loved the pieces where we talked about Salah and why Salah is important. And I also loved the last verses that were about the Day of Judgment, because I like it when I'm scared by the Day of Judgment. It really makes me humble. Thank you very much, Brother Habib. It wouldn't have been possible without you sharing your valuable time with us. And thanks for our wonderful listeners for being with us and being our encouragement to keep this program going. If you missed it, don't worry. You can always download an archive of this episode and all the previous ones from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next episode, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Quran Quest, the program that answers your Quranic questions.
In the limelight. In the United States, Kevin McCarthy will not run for House Speaker again after a House of Representatives vote which ousted him from office. We take a look at the US media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The national broadcaster CBS News has covered the story and tells us more. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy was ousted from his leadership position in a historic vote on Tuesday, 3rd of October, after a far-right revolt over his reliance on Democrats to pass funding to avert a government shutdown. The final vote was 216-210, with 8 Republicans joining all the Democrats to vote to remove Kevin McCarthy. It's the first time a House Speaker has been removed in a no-confidence vote. The office of Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant, said Republican Representative Steve Womack of Arkansas, who was presiding over the chamber. Representative Patrick McHenry of North Carolina, a top ally of Kevin McCarthy and a member of the Financial Services Committee, was then appointed Speaker pro tempore. The rules of the 118th Congress state that in the case of a vacancy in the office of Speaker, the next member named on a list submitted by Kevin McCarthy to the Clerk of the House in January will become Speaker pro tempore until a Speaker is elected. House Republicans met on Tuesday night, 3rd of October, as a conference to discuss their next step. Kevin McCarthy told his colleagues that he would not run for Speaker again. The reason Kevin McCarthy went down today is because nobody trusts Kevin McCarthy, Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida told reporters after the vote. Kevin McCarthy has made multiple contradictory promises, and when they all came due, he lost votes of people who maybe don't even ideologically agree with me on anything. This represents the ripping off of the Band-Aid, and that's what we need to do to get back on track, the Florida Republican stressed. Along with Matt Gaetz, 7 Republican members voted to oust Kevin McCarthy, Representative Andy Biggs of Arizona, Ken Buck of Colorado, Tim Burchett of Tennessee, Eddie Crane of Arizona, Bob Good of Virginia, Nancy Mace of South Carolina, and Matt Rosendale of Montana. A day earlier, Matt Gaetz accused Kevin McCarthy of making a secret side deal with President Biden on Ukraine aid to get a short-term funding bill passed just hours before the government was set to shut down. The California Republican denied having made any deal in exchange for Democratic votes. 11 Republicans voted against the earlier motion to table Matt Gaetz's resolution, an ominous sign of what was to come for Kevin McCarthy. The Speaker of the House is not only the leader of the chamber, but also second in line for the presidency. Ousting a sitting Speaker by vote in the middle of a congressional term is unprecedented in American history, and Kevin McCarthy's allies warned that doing so would set a precedent that would hang over every Speaker moving forward. That argument did not persuade Democrats to come to Kevin McCarthy's rescue. "We're in uncharted territory. We've never had this situation before," Matthew Green, a politics professor at Catholic University, told CBS News. Matthew Green said the vote shows that the Republican Party has too many members who don't like McCarthy personally or otherwise are disdainful of party norms. "There was a norm that you don't do this. The rule has been on the books more or less continuously since 1910. Green said, "You've got a party that's very small and you've got a faction of members who are disdainful of these norms, and that makes it extremely difficult to govern." Democratic leadership members had urged their caucus to vote yes on the motion to vacate. Given their unwillingness to break from MAGA extremism in an authentic and comprehensive manner, House Democrat leadership will vote yes on the pending Republican motion to vacate the chair. Democratic Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries of New York wrote to his caucus. Up until the vote, Kevin McCarthy had expressed confidence to reporters that he would prevail. "I'm an optimist because I think there's no point in being anything else," McCarthy said. He said earlier that he spoke with Hakeem Jeffries on Tuesday morning, but when he was asked whether he would have to rely on the votes of Democrats to retain his speakership, he replied, "No, I personally am not." At a caucus meeting on Tuesday morning, Representative Pete Aguilar of California played a clip from the Speaker's appearance on Sunday on the Face the Nation program, in which he blamed Democrats for nearly shutting down the government. In fact, more Democrats than Republicans voted for the bill to extend government funding for 45 days. Democratic Representative Pramila Jayapal of Washington said her party would be unanimous in voting against Kevin McCarthy. The cable broadcaster CNN Cable News Network has also covered this story and tells us more. Kevin McCarthy will not run for Speaker again after the House ousted him from the top leadership post in a historic vote on Tuesday, 3rd of October, a move that threatens to plunge House Republicans into even further chaos and turmoil. The House will now need to elect a new Speaker. There is no clear alternative to Kevin McCarthy, who would have the support needed to win the gavel, but the race for a potential successor is already underway. The vote to oust Kevin McCarthy and his decision not to run for the speakership again marks a major escalation in tensions for a House GOP conference that has been mired in infighting, and it comes just days after McCarthy successfully engineered a last-minute bipartisan effort to avert a government shutdown. No House Speaker has ever been ousted through the passage of a resolution to remove him. "I don't regret standing up for choosing governing over a grievance. It is my responsibility and it's my job. I do not regret negotiating. Our government is designed to find compromise," McCarthy said at a wide-ranging press conference on Tuesday evening, 3rd of October. Dozens of his staffers were in the room listening, with many emotional and hugging each other. Kevin McCarthy told CNN's Manu Raju he might endorse a successor and did not say whether he would remain in Congress. "I'll look at that," he said when he was asked. McCarthy also unloaded on his critics. Asked by Manu Raju if there's anything he would have done differently with regards to the 8 House Republicans who voted to oust him, McCarthy joked, Yeah, a lot of them I helped get elected, so I probably should have picked someone else. A number of House Republicans are said to be considering jumping into the race for Speaker. It's a scramble as House Republicans do not have a plan, nor are they unified behind a single candidate. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, who has been number two Republican, has started reaching out to members about a potential speakership bid, according to a source familiar with the matter. Immediately following the vote, Republican Representative Patrick McHenry, a top McCarthy ally, was named interim speaker, and the House went into recess as Republicans scrambled to find a path forward. The House is expected to stay out of session for the rest of the week, and Republicans are expected to hold the speaker candidate forum within a week's time. The effort to oust the speaker was led by Republican Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida and comes as a block of hardline conservatives continue to rebel against Kevin McCarthy, voting against key priorities of GOP leadership and repeatedly throwing up roadblocks to the speaker's agenda. The vote was 216-210, with 8 Republicans voting to remove Kevin McCarthy from the speakership.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Rabbana, Rabbana.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
Rabbana, Rabbana, ya Rabbana, ya Rabbana, ya Hayyu, ya Qayyum.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program The Key here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we are going to be looking at a very interesting and significant question. That question is related to a topic that is discussed in various sciences. Especially, it's discussed in sciences like sociology and anthropology, history as well, political science, even economics. And that question is: what are the causes of the downfall and the destruction and the end of a civilization or a society? This is a very interesting topic that has intrigued many thinkers from a myriad of different disciplines. And it's something that Islam has discussed. And in fact, this is a topic that is even related to the Quranic sciences, because as you know,
one of the themes that the Quran touches upon and alludes to and indicates is the fact that every civilization, every society, every nation, right, it works as a single coherent and living being. So it has a birth. It undergoes a series of changes, and finally it finishes and terminates. And in fact, the Holy Quran it uses the word death for this end of this civilization. So it actually kind of refers to it as a living entity and as a being. Now, this is a subject of discussion altogether. Is this a metaphorical usage of the word death, or no? Is the Quran actually referring to something real here? Right now, we don't want to go into this topic, but the question that branches off from this topic and that we want to talk about today, and perhaps we might even be talking about it in some of our forthcoming sessions, is this: that what are the causes of the downfall of a society? What leads to the death of the civilization? First of all, let's start with a verse of the Holy Quran, in which this general theme of that we're talking about has been mentioned. In the Holy Quran, we read, "We would never destroy the towns except when their people were wrongdoers." Right? So, first of all, in this verse of the Holy Quran, first of all, it affirms the fact that, the Quran mentions the word qura or town, but we can extend this to include, any kind of civilization. And it also mentions a general rule, and that is that wrongdoing is ultimately the ultimate cause and reason for why the civilization ultimately terminates. Echoing the same theme, the Holy Prophet said, "As for the destroyers, meaning the destroyers of civilization, they are," and he enumerates certain characteristics, "greed obeyed." When people begin to obey greed, inclinations, meaning desires, followed. People begin to are unable to no longer to control their desires, and they follow them, and they listen to them, right? This is another one. And finally, the Prophet mentioned, and man's admiration of himself, pride, right? Greed, right? Passion and pride, when these are like the ultimate destroyers of civilization, according to this prophetic hadith. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the causes of the destruction of civilization in the light of the Quran and the hadith. Thank you for... until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Scores of Palestinians have been injured as Israeli forces attack mourners attending the funeral procession of a man earlier killed by settlers in the occupied West Bank.